It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe February has come and gone. Depending on when you're listening to this, either February 6th at 9:05 or Sunday's February 7th at 7:05 after the 9 and 7 o'clock news portions of appropriately. Here we are in February, and January was a wonderful month in terms of these shows. Wasn't necessarily a wonderful month in terms of the pandemic, although the vaccine implementation is in progress, and we had a wonderful Martin Luther King holiday as well. Big shout out to prior week guests. We had Bill Dunlap from the New Hampshire Historical Society, and Bill described how the New Hampshire Historical Society pivoted during COVID. Also, you can go to the New Hampshire Historical Society in person now, but you do have to make reservations. And most importantly, he talked about a historical democracy program that they put together for students in New Hampshire. The week before that, we had one of my today's guest colleagues, Leanne Haney. We talked about some unusual dental history, including some little-known facts about Paul Revere and George Washington. For example, George Washington did not have wooden teeth, but there was a lot more to the show, and you can hear a rebroadcast of that show by going on anydelta.com, and we have a radio section for all 10 years of our programming. This week, and with me, as I kind of hinted at, is one of Leanne's colleagues, Krista Ketty, who's a registered dental hygienist and one of our terrific oral health and wellness solution specialists at Northeast Delta Dental. We've had Krista on the program before, as we've had the many RDHs, ranging from Krista, of course, and Leanne and others who have held this role in the company, which is educating our dental offices and subscribers on the importance of oral health, and specifically our HOW, or Health Oral Wellness Program. But we thought it would be appropriate to have Krista on the first show in February, because February is Children's Dental Health Month. So, Krista, thank you, first of all, for joining me. I know you're busy with the Health Oral Wellness Program. You've got a young family. It's winter, everything else, but you've agreed to give me 24 minutes of your time, kind of like the NBA shot clocks, which is 24 seconds. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me and for the great introduction. And yes, like you said, I'm a dental hygienist, and I'm about to have three young kids at home. So we're expecting our third, which is really any day now. So
wow. That's great. That happened quick.
Yes, it did.
That did happen quick. Yes. So one, having had four children at a young age, sort of like one of the things, the hint I would give you is there's still only 24 hours in a day. And I know in my case, number three and especially number four adapted to the reality of they weren't necessarily going to get mom's undivided attention. But you know all this.
Exactly.
And the last time you were on the show, you were talking about how COVID maybe slightly impacted your ability to, get the toddlers to the dentist. So let's start there. Then I'll circle back, and you can describe the history of February being National Children's Dental Health Month, which actually, as you know, dates way back to the late 40s. But let's just get right into the topic of, if I'm a mom or dad of toddlers, like when they should go to the dentist and why.
Yes, no, it's a great question. Really, the American Dental Association, their previous suggestion used to be to bring your child to the dentist at the age of three. But in the last several years, we, as the dental profession, has changed that. We say now you want to bring your child to the dentist actually even before the first tooth erupts, which could be as early as 6 months old, or at least by the child's first birthday. And just like you mentioned, we talked a little bit about that last time I was on the show. We talked a lot about risk assessments, and me and my own experience bringing my child to the dentist was delayed with COVID. But I have to say, it's not because we as a dental hygienist want to get in and polish the teeth and floss the teeth. It's more of just to get the child acclimated to the dental office, get the child used to what they're going to be seeing, what they're going to be feeling, and to also educate the parent. It's a great opportunity for us as dental professionals to talk to the child's parent about what they can be doing at home as far as home care with brushing and flossing, but also above and beyond that, what foods and drinks are the child putting in their mouth that could potentially cause a cavity. So all of those things kind of go into that first visit. So I know it sounds alarming to bring your child maybe at 6 months old, but we just want to reassure you that it's something that's standard now and something that most dental offices are doing to, once again, just get the child acclimated and to get you as a parent acclimated to what you need to do for your child.
And as you mentioned last time, it's actually a really good reminder for parents as well, because as you know, and as my dentist colleagues always tell me, dentists and hygienists can do the very best work while the child or mom or dad or any adult is sitting in the chair. But if they're not brushing and flossing in between, the best laid plans of mice and men go away at that point. So it's good to get into that habit. And also that it's not a scary experience to go to the dentist. We have a grandchild that's living with us, Havana, and she went to Dr. Corray and at a very young age, as she should. And, you know, the mom or grandmother was there, and the baby was in it, and it was a good experience. So it's good to kind of get the muscle memory that going to the dentist is a pleasurable experience. Whereas in my generation, you know, we tippy-toed into the dental office with a little bit of trepidation, but that's not the case anymore. And then we have programs, as you know, with Tufts Health Freedom, a program we call it, you know, baby to the dentist by one, and just kind of get that into the mentality. Because even, you know, certainly when I was a toddler, age four was definitely the standard. But even when I was raising my children, you know, it wasn't really clear that it's age one, but it is, like you said, really clear now, or when the first tooth erupts. So that's cool. So let's circle back now to National Children's Dental Health Month. Why don't you get a little bit into the history of it? And
of course, I couldn't believe that when I was looking up, you know, statistics for preparation for today's show, that the first National Observance Day with the American Dental Association for Children's Dental Health was actually just a single day. It was February 8th, 1949. It was the first day. And as success grew and as kind of the observance grew around the importance of children's dental health.
And just as an aside, do you think in 1949 that Dr. Corray was seeing children at that point?
Because
that is 50 years ago, right? And he that's 70 years ago. But he officially made is only one of two dentists that have made 50 years of participating dentist anniversary. So
congratulations to him.
So maybe if he's very smart, so maybe if he, you know, graduated from dental school at 16, it's possible.
Yes.
But anyway, push on. I digress.
That's all right. The importance of that day grew. It became a week-long event a few years later, and then it soon extended to the month-long event in the 1980s that we know of today. So February is National Children's Dental Health Month. The mission of this month is really to raise awareness of how important it is for children to develop good oral habits at an early age to make sure they're set up for a lifetime of a healthy smile. And a healthy smile, we've talked about this before on the show, a healthy smile doesn't mean this perfect, straight, white teeth smile. It means a smile that you feel confident wearing. Just like Unleash Your Smile Power, the commercials that maybe some of us have seen through those ads that we have
today. Yeah, and it's so meaningful because, yes, of course, there are self-esteem issues which come with good-looking teeth, you feel better about yourself, the employer perceptions, and all that stuff. But the more important thing is having the proper teeth, so the medical-dental connection is solid, and also so you can eat foods like apples, so on and so forth. And I think physicians and dentists have done a much better job over the past couple decades, you know, of collaborating. And you've heard the stories before on this show how, you know, people have had to have their heart surgeries delayed until they got their teeth straightened out. So that connection, you know, is so important. So thank you for emphasizing that. Every year, the camp, it's the National Children's Dental Health Month, but it's also every year has a slightly different slant to it. So my understanding that this year's slogan is sort of emphasizing sort of nature's real water as an emphasis.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, water seems so basic, and how does that play into our teeth? But as we know, we're mostly made up of water, and it not only has several benefits to our overall health, but it has amazing benefits to our oral health. And so we're going to run through three benefits that water has to our oral health today. And I'm going to go right into the first one, Tom.
Go for it.
It's important that sipping on water after a snack or meal, you want to make sure you're drinking water either through the mealtime or at least after the snack or after the meal, because water is going to help to neutralize the acids that our mouth forms as our saliva breaks down the food we just ate. It's these acids that actually cause cavities. So the water, once again, helps to neutralize with that neutral pH, helps to neutralize these acids, and can really reduce the cases of cavities that we as children can have, but even as adults as well. So that's kind of, yes, it's for National Children's Dental Health Month, but that's a tip that's for adults as well.
Awesome.
Next, we have limiting sugary and acidic beverages. So listen, we know that you're always going to have maybe a soda here and there as an adult, or maybe a child's going to have sips of juice, or, you know, sports drinks can be important with really high endurance sports to get the electrolytes. But it's important that it's not our main source of liquid consumption. Really, milk and water are going to be your best sources for you and your overall health. But once again, it goes back into those sugary drinks, those acidic beverages, can cause cavities, whereas milk and water are more so going to reduce your risk.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend is Krista Ketty, one of our fabulous registered dental hygienists that help educate both our subscribers and our dental offices on many programs, including our Health to Oral Wellness program. Big shout out, a couple weeks ago I had one of Krista's colleagues on, Leanne Haney, who talked about the history of dental and some very interesting facts about Paul Revere, but a lot of other, you know, serious information. We had a good time going over that history. It's very educational. There's a little bit of humor in there as well. So if you want to hear a rebroadcast of that, because it does kind of tie into today's show, just go on anydelta.com's website, and you'll see the show from Leanne, and she did a great job. So, and of course, Chris
had a lot of fun. We did.
And that's with all, you know, it's been, I mean, 2020 and even 2021, I mean, we've done so much during the pandemic to get the dental industry back, and we did a $27 million relief package to our group customers and dentists and individuals. But it took a lot of effort, a lot of regulatory activity. So I find sometimes, Krista, that the radio gives me an outlet to cover serious topics like oral health, but also in a fun way. So we were talking about this year's campaign slogan for Children's Oral Health Month being water is nature's drink, and we were talking about limiting sugar content from sports drinks and soft drinks. Now let's segue to fluoridated water, and while this still, unfortunately, occasionally becomes an issue, I mean, every legitimate scientist, every dentist, every insurance company, you know, understands the importance of fluoridated water. So why don't you get right into that?
Yes, and, you know, I'd like to preface that, too, by saying, you know, it is a controversial topic, and on the topic of Children's Dental Health Month, you as a parent or you as the dental office providing care to a child, you know, you have to go with what the parent wants for their child. But today I just want to provide you with a few facts, since this is the campaign slogan of water is nature's drink for this year's National Children's Dental Health Month. And the first fact I'd like to provide would be that fluoride is a natural occurring mineral. It's found in groundwater and it's found in the ocean. And studies are showing, and they have for years, that fluoridated water prevents at least 25% of tooth decay in children and adults, which is really interesting because several years ago, we just thought it was a benefit to children, but we're now seeing that the fluoridated water is also a benefit for adults. So most of the time, like I said, you can see that fluoride is found naturally in the groundwater that we're drinking, but many communities actually add fluoride to their water. And this is actually said to be one of 10 of the greatest public health achievements of the 20th century.
Absolutely.
Because of how simple it is and how effective it is, Tom.
Absolutely. So if you have well water, and I understand you have well water, and a lot of people in New Hampshire do. So how does what do you do with that and sort of testing it in terms of does it have fluoride? And then also, I know in one community that I lived in many, many years ago when my kids were small, the dental office prescribed, fluoride pills for them because we didn't have fluoride water. So I'm not sure if you're prepared to answer that question, but tell us about the well water test.
Well, I'm actually in the middle of going through this experience myself with our kids, so I'm excited that this is the topic today as well. So I have well water, so I wasn't sure if my water had fluoride in it. You know, most groundwater does have fluoride naturally found in it, but we don't know at what levels. When fluoride's added to community water, we know that it's specifically at around a 1 part per million addition. But if you have well water, you don't know. So actually, just speaking through living in New Hampshire, I can say that the state of New Hampshire's Health and Human Service Department actually has a division where you can send in a water sample, and they will test your water to see how much fluoride is present. Now, you can contact them, and they can send you the test kit with instructions, which is what I did, and I just recently sent that back to them. The cost for this is about $12, so there is a small cost. And then what I'm going to do once I receive the results back from the state is I'm then going to bring these results to our dental office who sees our child and to the pediatrician so they can review the results and then provide any recommendations. One of the recommendations that you just hinted to, Tom, was if there could be a supplemental fluoride prescription on top of what the child's already consuming in our groundwater. So if the groundwater sample that we provided shows a very low amount of fluoride that would not be effective, then we may want to supplement, just like you mentioned, with a small pill to add fluoride to our child's systemic system.
Awesome. Well, thanks for explaining that. I think it's an important concept. Is occasionally, some bad press about fluoride, but suffice to say, it is, as described, one of the hugest, in a positive way, public policy, positive results, once fluoride was introduced. So now let's circle back to Children's Dental Health Month. And it's more than just teeth, correct?
It is.
So tell us about that and how the brain's involved in all this.
Oh, Tom, this is one of my favorite parts, and I was so excited to add it to today's presentation. So funny, my dad, went on vacation a few years ago, and he was in the airport, and, my mom's telling us this story, me and my sisters, and she's like, I said to your dad, maybe you should pick out a book over here to read on vacation and just for something to do. So my mom was not expecting my dad to come back with a book on successful aging from a neuroscientist perspective, and so fast forward a little bit, my dad read the book within 3 days. He loved it, and he came back, and he is still telling me and my sisters everything he's learned in this book. But one thing that really stuck with me was about children. And in the book, and from further research I've now done, it says from birth to age 5, a child's brain develops more than any other time in their life. And it's actually from birth to age 5 that these years are the best opportunities for a child's brain to develop connections that they need to be healthy, capable, and successful adults.
Perfect. So you've hit on you've hit on two things. I have a huge smile. You can't see it, but you know I'm on the early learning board, and for years I've worked with Jackie Cowell, and there's so much science behind and the investment in the early years, 0 to 4th, actually even when the in utero is like the most important investment. And if we take care of the 0 to 4 years, as you described, then the child has way more success in schools and to be a successful adult. So you've made a lot. That's a huge point you make, because it's not just oral health. It's really an investment in everything. And the other point about the importance of your father's book, which is there's another book called Younger Next Year, and they talk about how to your chronological age might be 60, but you really could be 50 if you work out and eat right. Mm-hmm. But part of it too, there's a line in there that if you have good teeth and brush and floss, then that also drops two years off your age, whatever. So that's awesome.
So how does this all play into teeth? I'd like to say that it's all about motivation. The motivation and the roles we play as role models for our children of showing them that we are brushing and flossing, this is going to be critical for them as they grow up, not only for remembering to brush and floss, and remembering that we were the role models for that for them, but also for other avenues of their life to be successful, for motivation and self-regulation. These are best formed during these years.
Yes, I mean, I love talking with you because this is all the stress of working is worth it when we get this information out on the investment in childhood and just the way you described it. So let's end on another fun note, which is visiting the dentist can be fun.
Yes,
why?
It can. Because this reminds us that we need to schedule our routine visits. We don't want to just go when something hurts. When we go when something hurts, I don't blame you. The dentist is not fun. I mean, who wants to go when something's bothering them? But let's make the dentist fun. Let's make the visit successful. Let's make it positive for our kids. And for us, we hinted on this at the beginning of the presentation as well today, but it's not that we want to show our child that we're nervous or we have been nervous for the dentist, because the child doesn't know that. So we want to, before the child even steps foot in the dental office, make it a positive experience. We want to explain to them what they're doing, what we're going to do today. We're going to the dental office. It's going to look like this. The professionals are going to be wearing a mask, but that's to protect them and to protect us. It's going to feel like this. They're going to look in your mouth. They're going to have a little mirror. All of these things are really important to review with the child before we even step foot in the dental office, to really make sure we're promoting that positive experience.
And you got to bring out the old book we all use, the Berenstain Bears Visit the Dentist. So that's good. That's an oldie but goodie that still works. So Krista covered a few other things along the way. I just want to say about with our health or wellness program, adults, if your score is a 3, 4, 5, and Delta pays for all this, the dentist will ask you, the hygienist will ask you, but applies fluoride varnish on the adult teeth afterwards. And I love that feeling when I finish the cleaning and the hygienist does that. And another book that people may want to read is a book called Teeth by Mary Otto, which is a serious book because it was really triggered by the death of a young child that had an infection in his mouth and didn't get DeMonte Driver. So that became the linchpin for a much greater book that covers a lot of the things that Christian and I talked today, but also Leanne from a couple of weeks ago. So again, Children's Dental Health Month, February, a lot of good material in today's show. So if you're a parent and you're trying to write a lot of copious notes, just go on anydelta.com and you'll see Krista's program loaded shortly, and before that, Leanne's. Krista, thank you for joining me this weekend, and congratulations on baby number 3.
Thank you.
When I see you next, you'll probably be, hopefully we can see you. I know Krista,
yes,
like many of our employees, are virtual, but maybe I'll see you in the parking lot with all 3.
Oh, goodness. I don't know about that. I don't have enough hands.
Good.
Definitely see me.
Well, you did a great job today. Thank you for your commitment to oral health, not only for children, but for the adult education. And as you point out, it's hand in hand. Children can teach you something, and you can be a role model for your children. So thank you, Krista, for joining me.
Thank you.